to say overall.
So it's basically like drugs. You know, you're like, wow, this is great. And then it's gone. You're like, what it's happened?
Anime crack.
Where am I?
Yes.
Welcome to the 67th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. You just listened to the song Last Inferno from the anime Densetsu no Yusha no Densetsu, otherwise known as Legend of the Legendary Heroes, from the artist Suei. We are back from a long winter break, you guys.
It was long and it was cold, but it is over now and we are back.
I am your host Mitsugi, and I am sitting across from my two lovely hosts, Chiaki and Kimiko.
Aww.
Oh,
it's so sweet. He is so sweet.
I know, jeez. Anyway, you can find us at www.aaapodcast.com. We're also on iTunes, Facebook, the theaddnetwork.net, and nerdnexus.com. And starting next week, you will be able to hear us live Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast. Pretty long, but if you go to ustream.com and type it in, type our name in, you can find us.
Mouthful of awesome.
Yes, it's true. So, anyway, I know you guys were missing us dearly over the break. And it shows. We have 37 new forum members.
37? Are you kidding me?
It's a little bit ridiculous, and there were about 20 spammers, too.
Of course, and I'm sure, honestly, probably half of those 37 are spam bots lying in wait. I'm perched like a hawk right now on the forums.
She's ready to ban hammer.
Yes, Chiaki actually created a function on the forum called ban hammer.
It makes me giggle.
It's pretty spectacular. Anyway, so I have 37 names to read through. But just as a note, if you do come onto the forum and start spamming, you will be banned. And if you put an ad in your location or website.
Yes.
Banhammer.
So
we don't need to be selling Prozac and, you know, penis enlarging pills on our forum. Anyway, so
that one was me. I apologize.
New members.
Kimiko.
New members. Get ready. This is long. I'm bracing myself. Lil Too Nutty, Lissergiv, Hanabi 15, Murasaki Dachio, Grand Al, Octave Espada, The Big Bad, Me Not So Mental, Fran Whippy, Evan Blood, The Blazing Otaku, Viva Odefi, Ala John Drina, Epfer Pops, Emma Green Indig A, 09 West Virginia Mackie. Man, these are tough.
Nick, I don't know how you're going to pronounce this next one. I'm waiting for it.
An Unsane Hif 7.
Wow,
Balaller,
nice.
Miguel Pauskov, Yutsubara, Brar Plady, Demi Kisk, Benny, Williamila.
Actually, that one just turned out to be a spammer.
Oh, you were banned, sorry.
I banned them.
Geshi, Kissam Suisa, Basque Gaipi, Claire 12.
That one was a spammer too.
Banned. Ink You Gift, Koryuchi, Freaky Ice Fairy.
I love that name.
I want to see that.
Shy Guy X57, rated M for Manly, which has to get my name of the week.
That's honestly. Your name of the week. My name of the week is Freaky Eyes Fairy.
There's four more. Alan Star, The Black Tiger, Farsiglery, Nana Bergenrind. Man.
Damn.
You know, you can tell the names that are fake, just spammers, and the ones that aren't, because some of them are unpronounceable.
I do have to say, though, mad props to Little Too Nutty, Lysergiv, Mudasa Kiracho, Octava Spada, Minato Mental, Evan Blood, The Blazing Otaku, Yutsubata, Freaky Ice Fairy, Shy Guy X57, Rated M for Manly, and The Black Tiger, because you are the ones who have posted, so... Yay!
You're not a spam bot. Huzzah. Yay!
You're not. You are real.
You are a human. Maybe.
Anyway, so
we think so.
We've had trivia too. In the meantime, the last trivia answer was Basquatch, and I can't remember if we announced that or not. But just to be safe, the winner was Canada Man. So congratulations, Canada Man.
A boot.
Our Canadian friend. And the trivia from this week, which is actually like 3 weeks ago because we're crazy late getting back, is Kenshin from Samurai X, the OVA.
I said be specific, guys.
And the people that got it correct were Gundam Pharmacist, A Little Too Tony, Jason MBS1, Nozaku, Rekka, and Shy Guy 57.
But who won overall?
Overall, the winner for the week was A Little Too Tony. So congratulations, Tony.
Yay!
We love you. And the overall winner from last month was Grizzly Bear, and he selected our Full Metal Alchemist DVDs that we have available, and we'll get those out to him as soon as we can.
I actually think they've already been sent.
Oh,
already sent. Okay, well maybe you already have them then.
We're all set.
Good choice.
Also, I told my Japanese tutor I'd plug her Etsy website. That was like a month ago, but I have it on here. So she makes like amazing knitted anime character hats.
She has
and stuff.
Totoro hats.
Yeah, she sells like
cutest ever
Totoro hats for little kids and adults and all kinds of stuff. It's etsy.com/shop/AmiAmigos.
Also, as Mitsugi mentioned earlier, we are now a live radio show that's on ustream.com or ustream.tv. One will reference you to the other. And you can either go to the long website Mitsugi was talking about earlier with ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast, or probably simpler, just go to ustream.tv and type in AAA podcast, one word, or Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, and you'll find us. And joining the Ustream is free. And if you join the Ustream, you can follow us, which will notify you whenever we create events. You can join the event, say you're going to attend, which will remind you when the event's coming up so you don't forget. And you can also partake in a live chat that we'll be doing as we do the podcast live.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking that since this is our first time, I'm not sure if we will, but eventually we'll probably do some interactive games, maybe like some audio trivia or something for people that are in the chat. You know,
Mitsugi getting fancy.
Hey, on the radio, they have callers to call in and play trivia games, so why can't we have trivia games in our chat
room?
Oh my
god, we could totally have a caller. We could totally do it.
We could have a caller, technically.
So.
Anyway, so today, episode 67, at long last. I know you guys hate us for being gone for so long. That one girl, I don't know how she went grocery shopping.
I know.
Without us, honestly.
And the other people who mow their lawns or even go to work. How did they go to work without us?
I don't know. So, looking back at the last 3 years and the anime that are destined to eventually become classics, and I can tell you right now, there aren't many of them. We're going to go back as far as the fall of 2008 on that, and then we're going to take a news break, as always, and then we're going to come back and we're going to tackle three of the animes from the last season. Chiaki's going to handle Iron Man, Kimiko's going to do Thank you. I'm sure they wanted to hear you guys say it a lot more than me. And I'm going to do Psychic Detective Yakumo. So.
Psychic Detective, what the hell is this about, you mean?
Oh no, it actually got around to having a plot, like around episode.
Oh.
They finally revealed it like around episode the last episode.
Helpful.
It was okay. Anyway, so we'll get to that
so
later.
So 2008 as an anime music video that has been posted to our forum says, "Blame it on a good year."
Well, first of all, before we even get into the anime seasons and stuff from 2008, what defines a classic for you guys? Cuz for me, I guess I'll go first. For me, it's something that is memorable down the line. Not just being good, but like, because there's lots of good shows and good movies in real life, you know, live action films that are great that no one ever watches later.
Yeah.
Because no one remembers them. Yeah. Whereas Dragon Ball Z might not be the best anime ever, but it's obviously a classic because everybody remembers it.
See, to me, a classic is, it definitely has those properties, but to me, a classic is an anime that's going to stand the test of time, as well as be something that if someone's like, oh, I kind of want to watch an anime that has to do with this, and that's the first anime that pops your head. For example, you know, if someone says, I want to watch an anime with a nature theme, you're going to immediately think one of, like, Miyazaki's movies or something like that. So that's really, for me, kind of how I've been defining a classic. Because if you think about it, like, some of the anime from back in the day, I'm thinking of Bubblegum Crisis 2028, specifically.
2040?
That's the one. But Bubblegum Crisis, nowadays, it looks so dated. And the way they reference things and the way they talk about things, it's just a very dated anime. And I'm not even just talking animation
style. I like that anime.
I'm not saying it's a bad anime. I'm just saying it has aged poorly, comparatively,
so
to some of the others.
So is Bebop.
But it's still a classic.
Bebop has not aged poorly.
Tangent.
Bebop doesn't age.
Every anime that wasn't done with computers aged poorly.
No.
Okay.
Not true.
Really?
No.
Wait,
no.
Which that could lead into what I think a classic is.
Oh, go for it.
Which a classic is what is loved by fans.
That's a good definition.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be good, but if a lot of people just love it. Take, for instance,
Naruto.
God in heaven, help us.
Naruto is the new Dragon Ball Z.
It's true. That will eventually possibly qualify as an anime classic because it is loved by so many.
And you think of all the 13-year-olds sitting there going, oh my god, I'm going to get home from school and watch Naruto and... What
I was
going to
say
show?
Toonami, but that
doesn't
exist anymore.
I know, I was going to say Toonami too.
The WB?
Sure.
Cartoon Network.
Whatever they show anime on these days for kids coming home from school.
But anyway, you guys want to get into the fall 2008 season? Because looking back at this season, it just seemed like a good place to start because there were so many good shows from fall 2008, and I can remember some of these shows and watching them at that time. Get this list. Toradora, which I think everybody kind of liked. Clannad After Story, everybody knows that's good. Toaru Majutsu no Index. Kanagi Skip Beat. Shikabana Hime.
Good too.
F Tale of Melodies. Yeah. One Out. Nodame Cantabile.
Yes.
All in the same 3 months. I mean, that's gotta be.
Why can't
be
we have seasons like that anymore?
Well, because now we're into the trend of like having their sisters want to, you know, have intercourse with their brother. And
I love how you said intercourse over sex.
Yeah, whatever. Sex with their brother. I'm trying to be clean.
I like it.
The more scientific it is, the worse it sounds.
I know.
Really? Well, we've been gone for 3 months, or 3 weeks, so I have to kind of ease myself back into the... You
know. 3 months? That would be scary.
But out of those that I listed, you know, With the exception of Nodame and maybe Clannad, I'm not really convinced that any of these are going to be anime that we're still going to be watching in 10 years. And that's kind of how I define, you know, like the time frame for a classic. I just don't think that like the Moe shows really have it, and even Clannad. I just don't know if even Clannad's memorable enough to stick around.
I think Clannad will stick around, and I'm going to talk about this on a later season too, but it's Studio Key. And thus far, they've yet to produce something bad. And I know people from the forums have talked about how, you know, they do.
Oh, they're having a hemorrhage.
Visual novels, but.
Well, think about this. Let me pose this to you. Clannad's been out for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear anybody talking about it? Or would you ever see anybody watching it? I don't.
Hot take.
No, but I think it's something that is going to be acclaimed. I mean, there are still threads on our forums that are still alive talking about that series.
Well, maybe so, but it just, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how it goes in the next 8 years.
See, what I will think will be a classic, but maybe not a widespread classic, is Nodame Cantabile. I think that's going to live on for many, many years as a cult classic.
Well,
because if you think about it, there just aren't too many anime out there that are about musicians. There are a few, but there are things like Beck and Nana, where they're more about, you know, bands and things like that, which are good, don't get me wrong. But I can't think of really any other anime that focuses on being about classical music. and students of orchestras and things like that. So I definitely think it's going to be one of those anime that is really treasured by music lovers for a long time.
Well, I mean, I guess you can make the argument that Beck and Nana kind of have lasted. Granted, Beck's not very long, or not very old, but it's still hanging around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's had like two DVD box set releases. Mm. It's been on TV, I think.
Well, Nana got two live action movies.
Beck's on its way with its first live action movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, but moving on, I don't know how you can go from such a good season to this two season that's so lackluster, but there was one anime in the winter 2008 season that I haven't actually seen this anime, but I wonder who out there has, because there's like six seasons of this show. I shouldn't be counting here. There's four seasons. The fourth season is like the sixth highest rated thing on News Network. I've never heard of this show. I've never seen it. It's called Maria Sama Watches Over Us. This show just comes out of nowhere to me, because the first one came out in 2004. The last one comes out in 2009. I haven't seen this. I don't know if either of you have seen it.
No.
No,
I've never even heard of it.
But it's about, I guess, girls' relationships in girls' school, and it's Yuri, apparently.
Oh.
Someone out there is loving the Yuri. They're giving it some high acclaim over here on the internet.
Apparently.
But
don't underestimate the Yuri.
I got nothing else from winter 2008.
I have nothing either. Zip.
But you know, when an anime is getting something released like every year for 5 years, it kind of makes me wonder if it has that sticking power.
Yeah.
Yuri or not. And maybe that's why I haven't seen it, Yuri.
Well, it's worth it enough, apparently, to keep pouring money into it, which says something.
I guess Yuri's better than Yaoi.
Hey.
Uh-oh. Kimiko's spitting venom.
Oh, yeah. Right at you.
Right at me.
Right at
you. I'm hiding behind my brand new mic.
Oh, no.
No.
I do like the butt sex.
Wow.
Butt sex. Moving on to summer 2009.
Yes, please.
Can I? Okay. I didn't necessarily, I don't know about one of the ones you have on here, Tokyo Magnitude, but the one I personally feel is well on its way, if not already a classic, Summer Wars. Did you guys see that movie of awesome?
I haven't seen it yet, I confess that.
I will confess too, it is on my to-do.
I think I'm waiting for the DVD release that's gonna be, that was announced a couple days ago.
Oh. Yeah.
The Blu-ray release, sorry.
Oh, God, okay, Summer Wars was absolutely fantastic.
Well, it's going to get nominated for an Academy Award, right?
Yeah.
It's on the list.
Which was shocking, because people didn't expect it, but it's definitely...
Well, it's won everything else already.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much won absolutely everything else it could possibly win at this point. And it's Studio Madhouse, which I don't really feel like they don't put out too much that is... Wait, I said that backwards.
They don't take put their out sweet much, time so, with it. Yeah. Yeah, they don't put out.
they just
don't.
They're stingy.
They rarely put out things that aren't awesome, is what I was going for, but I switched it backwards. Uh-huh. No, Summer Wars was just fabulously made. It was a brilliant idea. The animation style was fantastic because it was two different types of style. It was like almost... One style reminded me of kind of like a computer animated but still animated mm-hmm. aspect, and then the other was, you know, the standard animation, anime style. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Miyazaki and a little bit of Makoto Shinkai, but just absolutely beautiful to watch, amazing characters, amazing story. There's just no way that this couldn't be a classic.
It's just one of those movies?
It's just one of those movies. It's like up there with Makoto Shinkai for me. It was... Oh my god.
Is it going to be up there with like the most classic anime ever, which is probably Akira? Like where is it going to fall? I mean, watch Akira pick. I know I don't mean to put Akira no, up on a pedestal, but
I've never seen Akira.
That's even more strange. Even like my dad's seen that.
I
And he's
yeah.
like, "What are these people doing flying around shooting energy?" What's a senzu bean?
What? Why did he just become a giant marshmallow?
What's that from?
The end of Akira.
Marshmallows are soft and tasty. he's more like a destroyed fruit cocktail.
Oh god.
Like a destroyed Jello mold.
Ew.
At Halloween.
Now I really want to see Akira.
But the reason I put you do.
I
think I have it over there. Oh yeah, but it's on VHS. Oh.
Don't be on VCRs anymore. Me too.
I know that just shows you how old that movie is.
Yeah.
But the other one's Tokyo Magnitude, and the reason this anime is not great, but I was thinking, even though it's not a great anime, it does have a unique appeal to it that perhaps makes it stick out in people's minds, because let's face it, how many anime are there about natural disasters?
And let's face it, they covered their bases really well. They had Tokyo Tower be in some way destroyed.
Oh, of course. I mean, if that doesn't happen, it's a failure.
Oh, yeah.
But the anime was boring as sin. But I mean, just because it's about a natural disaster, which is about the rarest thing I can think of in anime,
that automatically puts it into the classic category of its own.
I'm just speculating.
Maybe.
It's pure speculation.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Realm of its own, right there.
So fall 2009, there was something that happened in fall 2009 that I loved.
Oh my god.
I loved it.
We're never going to hear the end of it, because there's a new one.
There's a live-action movie that I still haven't seen. For anyone who hasn't guessed it yet, I'm talking about Kimi ni Todoke.
Gasp.
And I actually remember walking around in Japan while I was over there and having them hand out little flyers.
I'm just kidding.
You do not hate on the Kimi ni Todoke in front of me.
Oh, man.
I will thrash you. But, it's gotten a second season really quick, and it's also gotten a live-action movie, and it's such a simple and sweet story that's done really well that I can't see it not holding up well. So,
are they finally going to kiss? God, I'm so sick of that.
They implied a kiss at the end
of the... Oh, it was implied. They panned the camera up at the end. Oh, my God. Because you know a soccer ball came through and just ripped the guy's face off right before they, you know, made contact.
Oh.
Yeah. No, whenever I think of Kimi ni Todoke, I always think of His and Her Circumstances. Oh, and at least in His and Her Circumstances, they're like sucking face by episode 5. I mean, they get to it. I mean, they're not having sex, you know, intercourse. You know.
You really can't decide on that word tonight, huh?
The wedding tackle.
What? Your twig and berries?
twig and berries.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but I don't know who wrote Trapeze in here. I guess that's plausible.
I wrote it.
Kuchu Bananko.
Well, that's its other name. Trapeze Kuchu Bananko. I put this one on there because, sure, it might be a head trip and a half, but it kind of goes to what I was talking about, how it'll age well, because it's trippy enough to remain accessible for a long time, and it's about a subject matter that never gets old, you know, psychological disorders and things like that. Those are going to be problems for a long time, and it doesn't really have anything in it that's going to date it because it's so trippy. It will work now and will work in the future. But the only thing that I will say that will hurt it being a classic is that not many people gave it a chance because it was trippy, which led to not many people knowing about it, which then led to, you know...
So cult classic, right? Yeah. Than classic classic.
That's probably what I would put it at, as a cult classic. But I love this anime.
We've got Inuyasha on here, too. I mean, who wrote that? Who was it? Was it me?
Yes.
I can't remember. I made this agenda, like, literally a month ago.
I was going to say,
Let's see, what do I have written? I wrote down, well...
You hate to put it
here. I hate to put it here, but it's honestly true. This anime has already stood the test of time. It aired for 10 years and has 4 movies.
It's true.
Good God. Now I'm going to just say that that just because it's long doesn't really necessarily mean it's a classic, but it kind of has proved itself. I mean, for example, people still watch Dragon Ball Z, and that show still brings in more money than practically the entire anime industry combined.
It almost makes, like, the beginning of Inuyasha is already a classic because it is so old.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the only part of the show I watched, because it just got too out of hand.
Yeah, a little bit.
Once Koga got in there, I was like, I just can't stomach this anymore. Now it really is a love triangle.
It ended, right?
Yeah, it's done.
Awesome.
It'll be back. Rumiko Takahashi's still alive. It'll be back.
I love that you put Bleach and One Piece as other examples of this. Anyway, so winter 2010, there were a couple of good ones, I think. I guess to start off, do-da-da-da.
you kind of like that one, don't you?
2009-2010, right? Winter?
Yeah, 2009-2010 winter. But, yeah, no, I kind of like it, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you watched it, like, least once.
Now,
or
twice. I almost want to challenge this, because I feel like I don't hear anybody ever talk about Bakano, ever.
Nobody, okay, see, that's the problem.
And this one's, let's face it, this one didn't really make as big of a splash, right? As Bakano?
No, actually, I'd say Durarara actually made a bigger splash than Bakano did. Bakano was more original, and personally, I felt better, more well done than Durarara was.
Well, it's newer.
Durarara's newer.
Right.
But Bakano, Bakano was just generally a better anime, in my opinion.
It was more violent.
But that didn't have anything to do with it.
I don't know, I like the violence.
I like when people's heads explode. But anyway, no, Durarara has something different about it. I think Durarara's more character-driven, and people tend to find the characters themselves more lovable, and I guess are drawn to the characters in the show. And that spans fandom, and that spans love, and all of a sudden everybody loves Durarara, and that, like I said before, that could make something a classic, is how many people love it. And a lot of people love Durarara.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I really can't judge it too harshly, because I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I don't really have... And you know what? We all pick our animes, and I got the bad ones, you know, and you can't shame me for picking the bad anime, all right? I did you a favor.
But seriously, I think it counts.
I do want to mention, too, that this was also the season in which Nodami Cantabile's finale came out. Hmm. So, just because we mentioned it earlier, might as well mention it again.
And...
Anyway, let's move on to the next season. I'm tired of these girly animes.
Oh, come on. You didn't like Eden of the East? I liked Eden of the East.
It was good, but, you know, it didn't have an ending. You gotta watch two movies. Finish it.
And the movies took way too long to come out. I think if the movies came out sooner, it would have been more of a classic.
It was a good idea.
Spring 2010 has some real classics in it, okay?
Denied.
We both know Hajime no Ippo is already a classic. It's like a 600 chapter manga, and literally, that's still not done. And it has 72 episodes, a series, and a couple movies.
Of sports.
No. No. No.
Just can't accept it being compared to Inuyasha at all.
I refuse.
But I've talked about Hajime no Ippo a lot in the past, so I don't need to talk about it a lot here. But one that we should mention, I think, is one that probably Chiaki wrote in, Angel Beats.
Yep. As I said before, Studio Key on a roll, and this one was another one that was beautiful looking, had great music, had a really good story, and it's just another thing that the studio produced that really is building their repertoire. And I think that studios like that, once they have enough classic hits, it's almost like anything they make will become classics.
Well, they have it. Well, it's kind of like Atlus and their Shin Megami Tensei games. You know, they have a following. And who was it that I was just talking about Persona on the forum? I can't remember, but whoever you were, hello. It's, you know, Atlus has a small following. But those people will come back and buy the next Shin Megami Tensei game, no matter what it is, just because they expect a certain level from it, and they expect a certain atmosphere and quality about it. And I feel like that's the same type of thing that Studio Key has going for it, because a lot of their shows have been very similar. Air is very similar. I mean, first of all, they're all based off of games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if that's what people come to expect, and that's their cult following... You gotta be true to your fans. So.
Of course. Well, they do it really well. I'm surprised that you didn't mention Big Wind Up in this season.
I wanted to. But I feel like, I guess just in relating it to how the dub went in America.
Right.
It just didn't do well. I love Big Wind Up. I absolutely adore Big Wind Up. It's probably the reason I like baseball now as a general sport.
Well,
but it just didn't do well at all.
Well, the female coach, what was her name?
Momoe,
her voice actor was the same lady that did Mitzi.
She also did Chi-Chi in Dragon Ball Z.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she did Mitzi in, what's the show with the ass dance?
Oh. What?
Shin-chan. Oh. Shin-chan. She was the mother of Shin-chan. In the American dub, which I gotta watch more of, because that show is so funny. God. Anyway, moving on. Summer. We're catching up to ourselves. We're a mere two seasons behind now.
Oh, no.
I had a mere one show from summer 2010 that I thought...
But it's worth it.
I thought people would remember years to come, and let's face it, everybody knows. What is it?
High School of the Dead.
Exactly. You know, it's not necessarily touted as being a really good anime, but consider this. You know, there are classic anime and manga in the past that are revered for being so over the top that they're remembered forever. Ninja Scroll, Elfin Lied, Battle Royale. None of these are really, like, quality shows that are going to win an Oscar, but practically everybody on Earth has seen Elfin Lied.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I don't think that any of those are necessarily great stories from a technical perspective, but let's face it, you know, people are still watching Ninja Scroll 17 years after its release. Mm-hmm. In fact, excuse me, Chiaki's mother bought me a pirated DVD of Ninja Scroll from the islands. Bless her heart. She was like, what can I get Mitsugi for Christmas? I'll get him some pirated anime because he loves anime. She gets me Ninja Scroll on DVD and what was it? Like Yu-Gi-Oh! The Silver Monsters or something? Or yes. Digimon Battle Arena or some movie, some crazy movie.
Those gifts came from the heart.
They well, did. She meant
said,
well.
She walked up to the vendor and went, I want whatever anime stuff you have.
I wonder
and that's
what
she picked.
I wonder what you nice. Paid for those.
I probably like
$2. Probably like 10 cents.
If I can, just one more thing on High School of the Dead. At least on a personal basis, I feel like acting and animation can have, you know, an involvement in how well an anime sticks in your mind.
You are the voice actor actress connoisseur.
Oh yes. And I, you know, this was even Japanese voice acting, yeah. Which I'm all dub mostly, but the acting in this was amazing. Like hearing people screaming, you know, bloody murder and people, you know, fighting for their lives, and
the swinging breasts,
the breasts that don't move together.
Somebody actually proved scientifically that is possible. I don't know why,
they slide in opposite directions so you can fire a sniper rifle round through them,
right through it.
Wow,
it's a new bra for Victoria's Secret. It has little pulls in the back that you're just like moinky, moinky,
it's like the Conan O'Brien dance. For those of you that have seen that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Oh,
but seriously,
Lord.
High School of the Dead, a brilliant balance of violence, sex, action, character appreciation, and awesome sauce. My roommate actually I think said it best. Who wouldn't want to watch a zombie porno?
Hey, there it is. We love killing zombie Nazis.
Yes,
it's true.
Might
it's
as
true.
Well, you know, get off the zombie porn. Why not?
Wow.
Actually, it's funny because out of all the anime that we've mentioned from the last 3 years, I'm more sure than any other that will be a classic.
Oh, most definitely.
I would tend to agree.
And I think there's another one coming.
Is there?
Did I get a confirmation on that?
High School of the Dead 2?
My sources told me, I believe, that there is another one coming.
I love how you have sources.
I do have sources, and they're
they
very credible. But I have to protect my sources. I cannot reveal them.
they left it open to a sequel.
It's open.
I mean,
and there's more manga. No, it's not Anime News Network.
My sources, which is... So, the last season is this past season.
Oh.
Winter 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put... I'm not going to talk too much about it because I'm going to review it.
There's not much to say.
But... I put Iron Man up, not necessarily because of the quality, but because it really is the first time that comics, to my knowledge, have been adapted into anime. And that, to me, will make it a classic among the comic world, at
Makes
least.
Sense.
Because there's going to be a lot of people who are like, oh my god, I love anything Iron Man. This is Iron Man. I love Marvel. They have that kind of loyalty.
I heard Tony Stark was a hottie.
Tony Stark was a hottie.
They didn't make Batman into an anime?
It's Iron Man, Wolverine, and then I forgot.
X-Men's one of them.
I mean, like, prior to this, they didn't do one for Batman? I thought they had.
Well, no? They've made American cartoons, but this is the first time that
it's actually been made in
Japan, targeted for the Japanese audience. And it's the start of the Madhouse Marvel trilogy of those compilations. So
by the way, can I just say that I think it's lame that the second one's Wolverine, who is an X-Man, and then and I grant you I'm not big on American comics, so maybe he's like his own thing, and I'm sure he is. Yes,
he is.
I'm receiving confirmation.
Yes.
He is indeed his own thing. However, I just think it's lame that they're you doing a character that later becomes an X-Man and an X-Man, because he's probably in both of them. No? Okay. All right.
I think you should shut your mouth before some comic person tries to put your
I'm
foot
shutting
in,
it.
In the forum.
It's shut.
But I just think, one, it marks an important point in anime, and two, it's really polished, and it's a great example of what CG should look like in anime. And I'm going to talk about more later, but...
I only really have one from this, and I could be entirely wrong because, you know, it's really bad to jump the gun before it's actually finished. But I read the manga. But I read the manga, and the manga was fantastic. And it's gotten a lot of, you know, it's gotten a lot of good word, the manga. Bakuman. I love Bakuman. And it's about something that I don't know if they've done before, but I haven't seen, about guys who want to be manga artists.
There's been things about manga before.
Well, there's an episode of Golden Will.
I can't think of their names, but it was one of the most famous mangaka duo. They made Doraemon, Fujio and Fuji. I can't think of their names right now.
No. Well, Bakuman's good. It was done by the same people who did Death Note. It's got some great acting. It flows surprisingly well.
Does it have apples?
It does. Oh, anyway. Does it have apples? No!
You said yes, it does.
I can't believe it took me a second to figure out exactly what you'd said. But yeah, I think if the ending goes well, or if they find a way to bring it around to another season or something and just make it, you know, flow as nicely as it has been so far, I think it could qualify as a classic. It's the best thing that's been done this season anyway. In my opinion, like, of the ones I've watched.
I hope it stays good. I hope they don't narc the ending, because...
They could.
That is one of the worst things ever, when you're watching an anime and it's great and then the ending's narked. But I think, since the rest of the anime in the future remains to be seen, pun intended, this is about as far as we can go. But if you have an anime...
Hey, was the creator Fujimoto Hiroshi?
Yes.
Does that sound right? No? Okay. Huh? All right, I tried.
What?
I tried looking up the creator of Doraemon for you. But it's okay. I think we've moved on.
We've moved on. It's okay. I'll remember it like 2 hours from now and go, oh my god, blah 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 and blah blah blah. And then I'll be like, oh yeah.
Fujiko.
Fujiko
and Fujio.
There we go.
I think took us a whole minute to figure that out.
But I just brought them up because they had a little comic stint at one point, or manga stint at one point, where it was about the kid in Doraemon wanting to get something. I'll explain it later when we're not talking about stuff, because it's a complete tangent.
Anyway, but for those of you that you know, feel like we missed a show that's probably going to be a classic, you know, in the future.
Or if you vehemently disagree with some of the thing we think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never happens.
That happens all the time, you know.
We're completely infallible.
And if somebody can please figure out who the creator of Doraemon is.
I tell you, I am going to remember it an hour later.
That's okay. Well, we still have another segment of the show. Because when we come back, we are going to be reviewing Iron Man and Psychic Detective Yakumo from the new anime season. But seriously, guys, we love a debate. So come on the forum, and we can have a little bit of a discussion about what's going to be a classic in the future. And we can talk in real time in the new chat box that we just added.
Yay, chat box!
Chat boxing!
So...
Sounds like a sport.
Anyway, we're going to take a few minutes, and then we'll be right back with some reviews.
Well, it's about that time again, everyone. It is time to find out what is going on in the world of anime. This is your Anime Addicts Anonymous Anime Newsbreak. First up is a new website out there. It's called KeepAnimeAlive.com. It's the homepage for a YouTube movement known as Sustain the Industry. Sustain the Industry was started by two anime fans, Colin Harvey and Chris Perry. Now, they started this YouTube movement to promote legal acquisition of materials over illegal downloads or other forms of copyright infringement to get anime. And it's a place where fans can post videos or other things detailing their monthly, weekly, daily, whatever, anime and manga purchases. They've announced that in the future, the site is planning to post a series of interviews with various industry members It's something that I personally feel really strongly about, so let's work on keeping this industry alive, and if you can support it, support KeepAnimeAlive.com. So while we're on the subject of keeping it legal, there are some North American anime and manga releases that you might want to know about. If you're not from North America, this doesn't really apply to you, but it might be coming to your country soon as well, so you might want to check up on that. Some of the big hit titles are on February 15th, Summer Wars is coming to both Blu-ray and DVD. Also, the Garden of Sinners collection is going to be released from Aniplex in Blu-ray with a shocking suggested retail price of nearly $600. That is a large price tag, even for a bunch of Blu-ray discs. Some manga releases, if you're into that. Gunslinger Girl Omnibus GN1 is going to be released from Seven Seas. The suggested retail price for that is $16. Another first manga release is going to be Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, for only $10. A bit cheaper there. And finally, one that's dear to my heart, Higurashi When They Cry Eye-Opening Arc is also going to be released for a suggested retail price of $12 on February 22nd. So, if you're into manga or anime, go out to those stores and buy them up. This next bit of news is for the person who might be the anime collector who likes to collect, well, just about everything. If figures aren't enough for you, various posters and DVDs, well, it's time that you enter in the world of anime video games. The Japanese sister companies Bandai Namco Games and Banpresto have begun streaming an official trailer for the new and upcoming video game Kimi ni Todoke Tsutaeru Kimochi, which means conveyed feelings. This is actually the second Kimi ni Todoke game that's been released, can you believe it, two already? Based on, of course, the manga Kimi ni Todoke, and Bandai Namco has announced that it's going to be a pure adventure game. It's due next spring, and the DS is non-region coded, so if you have an American or any other country DS, you can import it and play it all you want, assuming you can read the Japanese. So feel free to join us on the forums to discuss these or any other cool news that you find in the anime world. But for now, this was Chiaki, and that was your anime news break. Hope you enjoyed it. Back to the show.
In the summer of 2008, a man named Fightbait started an anime podcast.
I watched Grenadier because of the tits.
And it was terrible. 2 years later...
Maybe his penis is the duck.
I don't know how you would put that in a woman.
Fightbait.com may still suck ass, but we're bringing you more content than ever. If you head over to the website, you can now find news, reviews, editorials, pictures of dogs, and more crappy podcasts than your ears can handle. You even have the option to subscribe to the podcast, the blog, or both. Fightbait.com, kicking ass on the internet for 2 years and counting, proving that quantity is better than quality.
Welcome back to the 67th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
67, we're getting up there.
What's our sole mission? To make you more addicted
to anime.
Yes. Like a straight shot of anime crack right to the vein.
Pretty much.
That's how it goes, right into the jugular.
By the way, I think it's to make your anime addiction worse, more
addicted. All right, we'll have to discuss that later.
We'll have to have a death match.
I'm with Chiaki, actually. Yeah. So high five. You already lose, Mitsugi. You already lose.
But anyway, so now we're in our review segment of the show, and we have three reviews for you once again. Chiaki is going to do the first review, and that is Iron Man.
Iron Man. Down,
down, down, down, down.
Iron Man. Okay, sorry. It's obligatory. You have to do that. So, Iron Man is a 12-episode series. Obviously started that last season. And it's about, gasp, Tony Stark and the Iron Man.
No way.
As I just mentioned, it's the first of a trilogy in which Marvel is collaborating with Studio Madhouse to release Marvel characters in anime form. And it's not a retelling of the manga. It's not a series version of the movie. It's actually its own story, And the story was written by a man named Warren Ellis. And Ellis is actually a pretty well-known comic book writer. But he actually writes comics, novels, and television, and other things. But one of the things he's known for is sociocultural commentary, which there definitely is a good amount of in this anime.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Can you give an example?
Well, I'm going to get to that when I start talking about the plot.
Okay, great.
But he's also, the only other thing that he's written anime-wise is Wolverine, and I'm sure he's going to write the third one in the trilogy, too. So it's an American author writing the plot. And that interests me because the plot of the anime is actually, it has a lot to do, it's very Japanese, and Japan-centric. So the plot is that Tony Stark, I'm not going to explain who he is because I hope you know who he is.
How's it said? Tony Stark.
Tony Stark. Mr. Stark.
Mr. Stark.
So Tony Stark builds the Iron Man, and it's almost like a, it's a tangent, and basically he made a promise to someone that he would stop building weapons of mass destruction, and he would start using his talents for good, basically. He'd use his talents to help the world rather than hurt the world. So he's going to Japan, a non-aggressive nation, to build the arc reactor. And the arc reactor is basically a bigger version of the thing that's in his chest. You know that glowing thing in his chest that lets him sync with the Iron Man?
Is that in the second movie?
Huh?
That's in the first and second movie.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because I know that I can remember in the second movie he builds like a more like a stronger one or something.
Well, he's building he builds the arc reactor, which is the really big station, as a source of clean renewable energy, and his idea is that it'll be used across Japan and start in Japan as a source of clean renewable energy, so that energy is no longer a concern or something to fight over in the world. Mm-hmm. So there'll be no more wars over oil and coal or whatever. So he goes to Japan to build this, and of course, problems rise up.
Of course.
This unknown organization known as Zodiac.
Dun dun da da. Wait a second, how many animals are in the Zodiac?
12.
How many episodes does the anime have?
12.
My god, connection.
Actually, I thought it was going to be a monster of the week.
Wait, I'm like House, I'm having an epiphany. Okay,
you,
now
you,
I
you
storm
should have had
off.
The epiphany mid sentence and yeah. stared off into the other direction and then just left.
But then nobody would know what I was talking about.
I thought it was going to be a monster of the week, and it kind of was, but it really wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be because it actually had reoccurring characters and reoccurring villains. Which in a true monster of the week, there's like one overall villain, and then there's just one monster that overall villain sends every episode, and then the monster is defeated by the end. Whereas this one kind of had things that came back and little plot twists and things like that.
Hmm.
So Zodiac, basically, you start out not really knowing what they're after. You know that they don't like Tony Stark and they want to mess his day up.
Well,
but
no one likes Tony Stark except for the ladies.
Oh my god, do the ladies ever like Tony Stark? I have to say that is one thing that I really like about the series. Tony Stark is very manly.
Oh, he's so smexy.
He is very smexy.
He's a smexy, smexy man boy.
Oh man, Mitsuki, you just know it all tonight.
I always know it all.
But Tony Stark, like, you know how normally, like, even the manly anime characters, if they're manly, they're either really old, like grandpa old.
Like Sean Connery?
Yeah. Or they're like, I'm a manly 21-year-old and I look like I'm 10. Ah. He actually, like, he looks like a man and he acts like a man. Like, he's like, no, I'm not going to do any press interviews. Except for you, beautiful lady. How about you come in to my penthouse suite and give me a private press interview?
I must say, the only scene of this whole anime I saw was he was lying on the beach, like, dying.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't seem real manly in that scene.
Well, he just basically had his heart ripped out at that point.
That does suck.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, different members of Zodiac come and, you know, he's working with the Japanese Self-Defense Force, because he's building something that could be uses plutonium, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're involved, and they're, of course, involved in defending against Zodiac. And there's a little love going on between him and one of his scientists. And they're not, like,
they're not wussy about that love either. They kiss halfway through the series. I will tell you that now so you are not frustrated.
Thank you.
The only thing that I will say is that the plot had a lot of good things to it, but it almost felt... It had good pacing because the fights were so good and they were so high-paced and they were so engaging. But the problem was is that it doesn't really have too much of a plot. It just kind of throws it all together at the end and, like, puts in just enough throughout that it you aren't feeling let down.
Hmm.
But they cover... The writer covers something, and here's where the sociocultural thing comes in. The writer covers something that's actually... I know is a movement among various groups in Japan, and maybe not popular groups, or maybe not widespread, but I know it exists. And that's basically that Japan needs to revise the constitution or look at its self-defense force and become more of a power nation, a more militaristic nation, have more than the self-defense force, go back to before World War II, basically. And I can think of a number of writers, and I can't think of their names off the top of my head, but I can think of a number of writers and people who support this. And there's definitely a lot of themes in this anime where it's kind of that, you know, should Japan go to a future where they're powerful militaristically, or should they go to a future where they're an example as a peaceful nation?
Tony Stark would rather make love, not war.
Always. Repopulate Japan with a bunch of mini Tonys.
Pretty much. And no, we're not talking about you on the forum, Tony. Don't get any ideas.
So, the plot really let me down, but man, this anime was pretty.
Well, let's face it, what anime's plot doesn't let you down nowadays?
It had more than a lot of things I've seen, but it's still, like, it had just enough that you sit there and you're like, oh yeah, there's a plot as you're watching it, and then after you're done with it, you're like, what was that about? What did I just watch? I remember there were fancy robots flying about killing each other, and it was awesome.
As long as Tokyo Tower gets destroyed, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't get destroyed, but it does get beat up. He gets thrown through it, so.
Okay, well.
Not completely destroyed, but they covered their bases. Tokyo Tower got damaged.
And you're right, it does look really, really pretty.
Yeah.
Well, it's Madhouse, you know.
I mean, and it's the pinnacle of what CG should look like these days. It doesn't look clunky. It doesn't look awkward. It doesn't look out of place. It looks the way it should look.
How much is CG?
Pretty much all of the... Well, not, I don't want to say all... Actually, probably all of the Iron Man suits or Iron Man-esque suits are CG. So mm-hmm. Most of the fight scenes are CG. And a few other things throughout end up being CG. And there was only one time that I was like, ooh, that CG was kind of awkward. But other than that, you could still kind of tell it was CG, but not as often as you would think.
Okay.
Overall, I'm teetering between a 3.5 and a 4. Plot makes me want to give it a 3.5, but it's just so pretty.
When we talked earlier, you were pretty dead set on a 4. You had pretty much hard stamped it at that point.
I know the ending was epic. I was in the mood. I was in the moment. That's the thing. This anime gets you in the moment,
you were
but
in
then
the
it
mood.
Doesn't keep you there. Afterwards.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, when you're watching it, you're like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then 2 hours later, you're like, oh, yeah, I finished that, didn't I? What did I watch? How did it end? So, I'm gonna have to say overall...
So it's basically like drugs. You know, you're like, wow, this is great! And then it's gone, you're like, what
it's
happened?
It's anime crack.
Where am I?
Yes. It is that. So, I think overall, I'm going to give it 3.5 coin tosses out of 5.
Oh, you went down.
I did end up going down because No matter how pretty it is and no matter how exciting it is, if it doesn't stick with you, if there's not anything long-lasting, then what's the point?
What's a coin toss? Why is there like Two-Face in this anime? Is it like a Batman crossover?
No, you do actually see Wolverine, though. Wolverine makes a cameo.
Oh my god, he's the movies.
So he's going to be in all 3 movies, or all 3 animes.
He might, but... No, it's a coin toss because the doctor tossed a coin, basically, to save Tony's life or not when he was first taken captive.
Of course he won the flip.
I have one question before we move on.
Mm.
Did you see Iron Man, the movie?
No.
I saw both of them.
Oh, okay, well, because I was going to ask, it sounds like a lot of the stuff that happens in the anime is straight from the movie.
The first movie was better.
It was. I will agree with you there.
I mean,
but,
I'm
like,
sure they made it similar enough to be accessible,
But I think it's like, I think it's like not an exact retelling, but enough from the movie that it's that obviously anybody, connected.
Gotcha.
But then it's like in Japan to make it accessible to Japanese people. I mean, nice. I like I said, I haven't seen the movie, but I don't think it was in Japan, and I don't think he was like trying to build Japan clean energy.
Yes. No, I don't know.
Oh. So that's it. That's my review.
Anyway, so the second anime, I'm sure, is going to have much less substance than even that one did, based on the title.
Yeah.
It's just two little letters.
Mmm.
Thank you, ladies.
Actually, I found out, is supposed to be emu emu. So.
Emu emu.
Emu emu.
Which, in the end, probably just means mmm anyway.
Or it
or
means, mm.
Or it means moo moo.
Oh, well, I think... Moo moo?
It's perhaps it's one of those onomatopoeic expressions for something.
I think it's supposed to, in some way, yeah, masochist, basically.
Who would have guessed?
Or mega masochist, or...
Oh my god, that makes sense, because there was one time when I was with my host family... And they were sitting around the table, and they just started talking really fast in Japanese that I couldn't understand, but I kept seeing them point at various people and even the baby going, Emu, Esu, Emu, Esu. And then they asked me if I was an M or an S, and I felt very awkward. Well, I was like, that's not table conversation in America, FYI.
Okay, enough. What's this anime
about?
Sorry. They made me drop my ban hammer.
What? Only I have the ban hammer.
I have that's it too, right. Don't I?
I don't know, you might, but I can take it away.
Anyway, so, Emu Emu, or or Masochist, is basically, a story that centers the life of Taro Sato, and he's, your average high school student, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, only he's a masochist, and he's a really big masochist. And it's haunted him, you know, since the beginning of, like, his middle school career. And he finds this, club called the Second Volunteer Club, who are supposed to be able to help them, you know, help people fix their problems. And there's a girl in it who's androphobic, which means she's afraid of men. There's a girl in it who believes that she's God, and she runs the club, technically. And... You know,
it's... She really believes that she's God?
She believes she's God. At least that's what... That's, you know,
who does
what
she
we're
think
given.
She is? Haruhi Suzumiya?
I was just gonna say that, except...
She's got the same sort of moe atmosphere.
Well, Haruhi doesn't really know she's God, right?
No. But this girl is like, I'm God, and God should be able to fix all your problems, so I will make you no longer a masochist. But the problem is she's a sadist, so she beats him up a lot when he doesn't change his ways, because he can't change his ways. It's a vicious cycle.
Sounds sick.
So it basically, you know, centers around them, and it's very episodical, you know. I didn't expect anything from this anime.
No content at all?
At all. I didn't expect anything. But there was a little bit of character development that surprised me, actually. So
oh, okay.
I didn't leave there being like, why did I watch this? Like,
can you elaborate?
Yeah.
Is it like a massive spoiler? I'm sure this show doesn't really have any, but...
Not really. I mean, the show didn't really end. So there really isn't any spoilers. It looks like there's going to be a second season. I'm not really sure. The last episode was like,
oh my God.
Yay, Christmas special! And then it ended.
Well, there is a second season of Comfer coming out, which has got to be one of the worst animes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, nice.
It was about a school full of lesbians. That's what it was.
You watched the first one, so guess what you get to watch.
No, I watched 6 episodes, threw up, and then moved on.
Well, this wasn't that bad, actually. I'm not going to say I enjoyed every moment of this, but there were moments I did enjoy. Like what you asked, the character development that I saw was the girl who's like an androphobe. She ends up associating Taro with her dog so that she can, like... spend more time with him. And it makes sense because her dog's name was Taro, so she can just be like, he's not a real boy. Nice. So she can spend more time with him and starts to actually care about him and starts to sort of maybe possibly get over her androphobia, only she never really does because still whenever any boy, including Taro, touches her, she punches him in the face.
Bam. Oh, so it's like Naru from Love Hina.
Kind of, yeah.
Pretty much.
So... But their relationship grows a little bit, and you start to see that the main girl in the club, the one who believes that she's God, actually has humanity to her. Like, before, she seems like one of those characters that you just want to punch in the face because everything...
Erlina Peacecraft.
Pretty much. Everything out of her mouth is, I am the greatest, and I will cure you, and if you don't do as I say, I'm going to hit you with this spiked club that I pulled out of nowhere, you know? And she's just, I can't really stand her all that much. But she actually grows as a character, and towards the end you start to see her actually be a human being, you know? And Taro is actually really adorable as a character. Yep, that's the one. Taro's actually the sort of character that you want to get better, you know? Because it seems to bother him so much that he's a masochist.
Aww.
And he tries to be good, but then a girl will verbally tell him to go buzz off, and he'll be like, say more mean things to me! I love it so much!
Is this the green-haired chick?
No, it's actually the blonde-haired chick is the one that's,
Oh.
Now, I have a question, though. God. Is he a masochist for, like, a reason? You know, in his past, like, did his mother hit him and that was the only thing he associated with love?
Oh, my God, you reminded me of the worst thing about this anime. His mother and his sister are in love with him. And, like, to the point where...
Of course, it's anime these days. Your brother or sister doesn't want to F you.
I literally blocked it from my memory. He'll wake up and his sister and his mother will be on either side of him in bed going, we've been waiting for you to wake up. We've been watching you sleep.
That's sick.
And that is so creepy.
And, like, the mother will literally be like, you and I were connected at one point. We should be connected again. It's disturbing.
Could you imagine if you woke up and I was just like, hey...
I'd like it. But oh my God, it's so... I blocked it from my memory. That alone was enough for me to be like, why am I watching this? But no, I don't think it was ever anything really... Like, they never really said anything that made him a masochist. They just kind of showed you the point in his life where he became one. And it was one of those moments where, like, some girl in class slapped him. And without really realizing why, he was just like, oh, being slapped by a beautiful girl, I loved it so much, please do it again. He was groveling at her feet, and everyone in the class is just like, what is going on? Oh my God, he's
so
gross.
How old was
he? He was like first year of middle school.
Oh my God.
So like everyone in class literally backed up and was like, oh my God, he's so disgusting. Oh my God, what's going on? And he was shunned and he was humiliated and it was just really difficult for him. So he's constantly trying to like fix himself because that's all he knows is just that this is a terrible part of him. You know? But, it, as a series, it didn't really go anywhere. It was, like I said, episodical. Not much happened. There was one episode where they made a reference to Dragon Ball Z, which was interesting.
What? Can you remember what the reference was?
Yeah. I'll explain. Basically, there was a character that was introduced, and she's an inventor, and she created this machine that would use his super hella masochism to power a pervert ray that would turn everyone around the world into perverts. And her assistant created a belt that would channel his perversion, his masochism, into an actual power. And he puts on the belt, and all of a sudden, he goes through this magical transformation sequence. His hair goes yellow.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And he becomes the super hella masochist.
Nah.
And it was just, like, that's what this show is just random moments like that. And moments where you're just like, oh my God. It's slapstick, basically. It's slapstick moe perversion.
But does it actually, like, there's some slapstick that is actually really funny, well-played slapstick, and then there's the kind of slapstick where you give kind of an awkward chuckle and you're like, I'm not sure if that was funny or if I just feel weird about it.
This one, I guess it leans more towards the, you watch it happen and you go, oh my God, seriously?
Uh-huh.
You know? But you never actually are like, I want to watch that again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't really progress anywhere. Didn't expect anything from it, though, and actually got a couple of laughs, and I liked Taro as a main character. I mean, like, I felt bad for him, but I liked him, you know? So
being likable is important.
I mean, I don't think it necessarily qualifies for a 3. Like, it almost qualifies for a 3 in terms of, like, the fact that I had no expectations, but it proved me wrong.
I think I would have had a ceiling at, like, a 2.5 as soon as I heard incest. That would have been, like, the maximum it could have
that,
had.
Now that you reminded me of that incest, there's nothing that can bring it above a 2.5. So I'm going to give it a 2.5 super hella masochists out of 5.
Oh, that was very nice.
Super hella masochists.
Super hella masochists. It's my new favorite word. That and curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon, what? Yeah.
Curmudgeon. I just found out about that word, actually, recently. Curmudgeon. It's a good word.
So I think we're going to polar opposites here, because I'm doing Psychic Detective Yakumo, which was a slightly darker show from the recent season. And it's a show that I feel like had a lot of, I'll call it press, before it even started, really. It's a show that's about a boy whose name's Yakumo, and basically he's a student in a high school, you know, gasp, right?
No. And shock, surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Well, there's one thing about Yakumo that's particularly interesting. He can see the souls
dead
of
people?
The... I see dead people. Is it bad that whenever someone says that, I don't even picture the Sixth Sense. I just picture the Wayans brothers, like, under the covers in the one Scary Movie, you know, the comedy?
Yes.
Dead people. Anyway, sorry. Yakumo is a boy who can see the souls of the dead.
Oh, he can see dead people.
Yes, he can, literally. With one of his eyes is red. He was born with it, and he can see the souls of the dead with his eye. And... There is the plotline version that I gave in my impression several months ago about the show, but the problem with the show is that the first 3, 4, or 5 episodes don't really reveal what the plot is at all, and so I feel like I need to actually tell you what the plot is for you to know if you want to see this or not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you more of the actual plotline, but I'm going to be really vague as to reveal as little as possible. One thing you should know is that And they do tell you this early, is that the ghosts in the show exist as bundles of leftover emotions from the person when they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
So you got, like, really pissed off people, really sad people.
So they're,
you know,
like spirit echoes.
Whatever that means. It's like,
sure.
You know, it's like the ectoplasm left over, man. Oh, my God.
Like, a spirit echo is basically, if something happened that involved a lot of emotion, it kind of gets stuck there. And then after the person dies, that, like, is all that's left of who they were, and it'll, like, repeat itself.
Well, you could say it like that, but really, in this example, there is a man that's trying to revive himself from his spiritual form, and he exists as a bundle of hatred. Okay. And you might say, well, he's actually he looks like a living person walking around, right?
Right.
And can normal people see him, or just...
No, yeah. Everybody can see him. I guess the difference is that, like, some ghosts, you can't... They're, like... More like the kinds of ghosts you'd think, where you only Yakumo can see them. They're doing things like possessing people, or you know, scaring people, things like that. This guy is, I guess, his hatred's so concentrated that everybody can see him, including Yakumo.
Okay.
So everybody's very surprised when they find out he's actually a ghost. But he's trying to manipulate the emotions of people to make them filled with hatred, so that he can merge with their physical body and essentially revive himself. And the way that this happens is that their spiritual, like, emotion set has to be exactly identical to what his is. And his can't change because he's a ghost. So he has to make someone so full of hatred that he can, like, merge with them and take their body over.
That's weird.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to find that out till, like, episode 11. And you're going to be like, WTF. So don't get mad at me because I, like, revealed a little bit of the plot line to you, because... Trust me, you're going to be better off watching this show knowing that's what's happening, because it'll actually all make more sense.
One of those shows.
You have to watch it 3 times, and then you're like, oh.
Oh, my God. Okay. Or in the case of Akira, which you talked about earlier, you'll never understand.
Oh.
Ever.
It remains an enigma.
It's not meant to be understood.
Well, there we go.
That's the basic plot line. What I'm going to call the sights and sounds here, the animation of the show, I thought was pretty average. You know, it had a lot. Dark colors dominated the show. And normally that's not, like, something I would really say is a bad thing. But in addition to having the dark colors, I thought the animation, just like the smoothness of the movement and stuff, was a little bit average. But it wasn't really the kind of show that I thought really needed to have good animation, because it's not like there was a lot of exciting things going on. It was mostly Yakumo driving around in the car with Goto, the police officer, and things like that. The music I thought was pretty average too. As you're listening to behind me, it has one of the weirdest opening closing themes I've ever heard. At this point in the show, the opening theme just finished, so you can go back and listen to it again. But what's playing right now behind me right now is the ending theme.
And I liked the ending theme.
Okay, Chiaki likes it. You can kind of take your own opinions of it. It's the opening theme is called Key, and the ending theme is called Missing You. My additional thoughts on the show, when I gave my impression, I was really annoyed with it because it was really boring and very formulaic at first. It was kind of like, oh, okay, we're gonna go to Yakumo in his high school club room where he's the only member, and the girl is gonna go in. Her name's Haruka Ozawa, and she's gonna have some kind of a thing for him to do, and it's gonna be like Scooby-Doo, you know? Get Yakumo, they're gonna go out in their mystery mobile. They're gonna find the ghost, and they're gonna bust the ghost up, and that's gonna be the end of it. And that's one shot episode. That's how the first four episodes was, and I was like, "Oh my god, another show where I'm bored the whole time." But around episode five, it's stopping formulaic because it finally got around to the real plot line, and I explained that earlier. The characters, there's the semi love interest Haruka Ozawa, and then there's the police detective Goto. And really, other than Ishin, who's like his uncle, Yakumo's uncle, and the ghost person and his helper, there's really no one else in the show that really has any meaning at all. Really, there's like Yakumo's little sister, but she's kind of extra, afterthought, I guess. Maybe. I really thought that they needed to get around to the story earlier. It's a 12-episode show, so I really just think that, if you can waste 5 episodes of the show on nothing...
Make it an OAV or a movie.
Exactly. Make it a movie or a 6-episode, it doesn't really need to have, 5 episodes of BS, by which point everybody's already given up on it. But I thought the characters in the show were pretty good. Yakumo is actually a good character. There's some good backstory to him, which is something I haven't really seen in a while in anime. Maybe I'm just unlucky with ones that I pick. But you actually get to learn, like, his life's been pretty tough. He's kind of a jaded, not angry, but kind of like a melancholy character. And I think you kind of get a feel for why he's like that, by the end of the show. And you just learn a lot about his past, and it starts to make sense. Wrapping things up, I think, with this review, the pluses of the show are that the plot line is pretty interesting. I mean, I did enjoy the story once I figured it out. Of course, that doesn't happen until the last 10 minutes. I'm not joking.
Do you think if you had known that from the start, you would have enjoyed it a lot more all the way through, though?
I think I would have been able to understand what the bad ghost guy was trying to do.
Right.
Because you're just like, why is he messing with people? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And you're trying to figure it out, but it seems convoluted in the middle, at least to me it did. But, like I said, the characters are good. Yakumo and Goto are really good characters. Goto is kind of like your big, bulky, manly police officer guy who's kind of dumb, and... I don't know, he's kind of like Zenigata, but not quite as diligent. You know what I mean? The backstory was good, like I said. The negatives, it wasted far too much time. We really had about 5 semi-filler episodes in there. And, of course, the music and the animation was pretty average, so. But overall, I'd probably give it 3 possessed hospital patients out of 5. there's several scenes in the show where there's just some ghosts that can't let go, and they're trying to, like, possess or kill people, and they end up going to the hospital because they're like, oh, my God, it's a seizure or something. And, of course, the doctors don't believe that it's a ghost.
Of course not.
But Goto always goes to Yakumo to help solve crimes because a lot of them seem to be ghost related, and Goto's like the only person other than Yakumo that actually like believes in ghosts. Oh, and well, Haruka does. I guess most of the main characters do, but everybody else is just kind of like, what?
Ghost? Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, exactly. But all in all, I think it ended up being a lot better than I originally had thought it would be. So I think I was I was slightly pleasantly surprised by it. I did plow through the last handful of episodes pretty quickly, so.
Nifty.
Any additional thoughts on that?
No.
Not too bad.
No?
This time around.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised that the highest we had was a 3.5 this round, but
it's gonna get worse. For me, at least. Until Bakemon's done. If it keeps getting...
I haven't finished two of mine from last season yet. I'm still working on them, but I have finished Fortune Arterial. And I'll do that next week.
I'll review Summer Wars eventually.
That'll be a good review.
Oh, that'll be an awesome review.
I'm sure.
I get all tingly just thinking about it.
I have Kurage-hime rounded up, but I still gotta do Arakawa, Under the Bridge, X Bridge.
Ugh.
And I gotta finish up Panty and Stocking.
Because I couldn't do it.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be a good one.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I expected you to do Kurage-hime today, but
yeah,
you put
well,
it off.
You know.
I'm guessing there wasn't much to it. You could probably keep that plot line in your mind for a while.
I liked it, but we'll talk about that one next episode, probably.
All right, well, fair enough, I guess. Anyway, so we're really glad that you guys joined us today. You know, we're glad to be back.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Being gone for so long was not a fun thing. I missed you all.
I know that we give you this anime crack, but you guys and doing this is our crack.
We tried to do an episode over the break, but my editing laptop broke.
Oh man, we had mass technological failure.
Actually, we had two broken.
We tried for you.
We had two broken laptops. And we had, we were all scouted all over the world, and then, Mitsugi went on a cruise.
Yeah.
So, we were a little bit put out, but anyway, you can find us at www.aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, addnetwork.net, and thenerdnexus.com, and again, starting next Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be on the ustream.tv website. You can search for us under our podcast name, Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast, to find us.
Or you can go to our homepage, aapodcast.com, and click on the giant banner.
Oh yeah, good point. There's a giant banner on our top page. Go find it. And that's about it, you guys. Does anybody have anything else?
No.
Okay, well, your outro theme tonight that's playing love in a lovely manner behind me is Truth of My Destiny from the anime Densetsu no Yusha no Densetsu. By the artist Seui. And we hope you guys enjoyed the show.
We know we did.
And we'll see you live next week at 8 p.m.
Oh my god, live!
So scary!
Have a good night, you guys.
Good night. Good night.